Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, text number 22. Asto prakritiya proktas, toya eva hi tad guna, vikara shoda shachayai, pumam eka samanvayat. Astau 8, prakritiya, material energies, prokta, it is said, traya, 3, eva, certainly, he, indeed, tatguna, the modes of material energy, vikara, transformations, Shodasa, 16. Acharyai, by the authorities. Puman, the living entity. Eka, 1. Samanvayat, from conjunction. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord's 8 separate material energies, the 3 modes of material nature, and the 16 transformations, the 11 senses, and the 5 gross material elements like earth and water. Within all of these, the one spirit soul exists as the observer. Therefore, all the great acharyas have concluded that the individual soul is conditioned by these material elements. Just remember, Prahlada is speaking to 5-year-old children. So, since we're more than 5 years old, we should understand this easily. Purport. As explained in the previous verse, Shetche Shu Dehi Shu Tadatma Yogar Adyatma Vid Brahma Gatim Labeta. Spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body, and thus by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. The intelligent person who is expert in finding the self within the body must understand the 8 external energies which are listed in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhumir apanalo vayu kamano buddha evacha ahankara iti ame vina prakriti ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these 8 comprise my separated material energies. Bhumi, earth, includes all the objects of sense perception. Rupa, form, rasa, taste, gandha, smell, and shabda, sound, and sparsha, touch. Within the earth are the fragrance of roses, the taste of sweet fruit, and whatever else we want. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 110.4, Sarva Kama Duga Mahi. The earth, Mahi, contains all our requirements. Thus the objects of sense perception are all present in Bhumi or the earth. The gross material elements and subtle material elements, mind intelligence and ahankar, false ego, constitute the total material energy. Within the total material energy are the 3 modes, material modes of or qualities. These qualities, sattva-gun, raja-gun, and tamagun, belong not to the soul, but to the material energy. It is because of the interaction of these 3 material modes of nature that the 5 knowledge-gathering senses, the 5 working senses, and their controller of the mind are manifested. Then according to these modes, the living entity gets opportunity to perform different types of karma, within different types of knowledge, thinking, feeling, and willing. Thus the bodily machine begins to work. All this has been properly analyzed in Sankhya Yoga by the great Acharyas, especially by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and the incarnation as Devahuti Putra Kapiladev. This is indicated here by the word Acharyai. We need not follow anyone who is not an authorized acharya. Acharyavan Purusho Veda. One could understand the truth fully when he is taking shelter of an expert acharya. The living entity is individual, but the body is a composition of many material elements. This is proven by the fact that as soon as the living entity quits this combination of material elements, it becomes a mere conglomeration of matter. The matter is qualitatively one, and the spirit soul is qualitatively one with the Supreme. The Supreme One and the individual is one, but the individual soul is understood to be the master of the individual combination of material energy, whereas the Supreme Lord is the controller of the total material energy. The living entity is the master of his particular body, and according to his activities, he is subjected to different types of pains and pleasures. However, although the Supreme Person, the Paramatma, is also one, he is present as an individual in all the different bodies. Material energy is in fact divided into 24 elements. The individual soul, the owner of the individual body, is the 25th subject, and above everything is Lord Vishnu, is Paramatma, the Supreme Controller, who is the 26th subject. When one understands all these 26 subjects, he becomes adhyatmavid, an expert understanding the distinction between matter and spirit. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 13.3, Kshetra Jnanam, understanding of the Kshetra, the constitution of the body, and the individual soul, the super soul, constitutes real jnana or knowledge. And thus one ultimately understands that the Supreme Lord is eternally related with the individual soul, one's knowledge is imperfect. This is combined, confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Bhavanam janmanamante jnanamamam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti saramahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Everything material and spiritual consists of the various energies of Vasudeva, to whom the individual soul, the spiritual part of the Supreme Lord, is subordinate. Upon understanding this perfect knowledge, one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Saramahatma Sudurlabha. So the verse again. Asto prakritya proktas traya eva hi tadguna vikara shoda shacharyai puman eka samanvayat. The Lord separate, eight separated material energies, the three modes of material nature, and the 16 transformations, the 11 senses, and the five gross material elements like earth and water. Within all these, the one spiritual soul exists as the observer. Therefore, all the great acharyas have concluded that the individual soul is conditioned by these material elements. We constantly hear that we're not this body. But then we hear that we should become free from the body. Now the question is, how do we become free from the body? Because our generally answer is chant Hare Krishna. Well, we've already tried that. Didn't work. So what next? Well, then we have to chant Hare Krishna in such a way as that we're actually meaning what we're saying. Namely, that we really want to engage in Krishna's loving service. We tried that also. Didn't work. Because we don't know what Krishna's loving service is. Therefore, it's very hard to want to engage in it. So, then we hear, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Hopefully we tried that. Or we tried it for 5 seconds and we figured, I don't know what that means either. So here it explains how we can understand things a little bit differently or see things from a different point of view. As a matter of fact, that's why we have the Srimad Bhagavatam class, is to see things from a different point of view than we're already seeing them. If you attend this class and you walk out of here and you see things exactly as you saw them before you came to class, then I wasted my time, and you wasted your time too. That if you were sleeping, at least you got some rest. Then it wasn't a complete waste of time. So here it mentions that there are different elements. Now, most of the time, we're not aware of what they are, especially when it gets subtler. That there are the 24 elements, which are composed of the 5 gross senses, well, the 5 elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. And then we have these subtle sense objects, sense of taste, sense of smell, sense of touch, etc. We have the working senses, so that comes out to 15. And then we have the 3 subtle senses, mind, intelligence, and the false ego. That's another 3. And so if there's 24, we've gotten up to 18. And that means we need another 6. So what are those other 6? Well, we have the gross senses, the 5 sense objects, the 5 working senses, and what else? Knowledge acquiring senses. And so that's, and then we have the mind, intelligence, and false ego. So that would be 23. Mind, intelligence. Where's the 24th?
So,
is that, I think they said that soul is the 25th and the super soul is the 26th. The Mahatattva. Oh, they consider. Okay, so the Mahatattva. Mahatattva is principally, well, that's the sum total of all the material elements. It's the source. Now, the Mahatattva is generally considered to be in the mode of ignorance, and the Supreme Lord, who's purely in goodness, has created the Mahatattva for us to experience something other than reality. In other words, the reality is that we're Krishna's eternal servants and we want to experience something other than that. Krishna's created this virtual reality for us where we can play around imagining ourselves to be something other than Krishna's eternal servant, although we can't do it without Krishna's help. Now, the 5 sense object, the first 5 gross elements, like earth, water, fire, we can all see. Like, for instance, we have this flower here. Everyone can see it? Yeah, you can see it? Yeah. So everyone can see it, and we're seeing it with what?
With our eyes.
Yes, with our eyes. Maybe we're not 5 years old yet. We're seeing it with our eyes, yes. So that's a subtle in what we're seeing, right? So we're seeing it with that. That's a knowledge-acquiring sense and vision is one of the sight, so that's 3 of the 5 gross ones. And I had to move it up for you to see it, so that's an active sense. Now we're seeing it with our eyes. Now if you close your eyes, and everyone close their eyes, I'm watching. I'm not going to close my eyes. Now imagine seeing that same flower. You have your eyes open, Ananta. So imagine seeing the same flower. And what color is that flower?
Purple.
Everyone agrees it's purple?
I have that from the
What's that?
I have that from the season.
What color do you see it as?
Black.
Do you? Actually, really?
Something like that.
Okay, so black is a nice color too. There's no absolute color. So now close your eyes and see the flower again. And change the flower to yellow in your mind. You were able to do that? Okay, so open your eyes now. So, who changed the color? How did you change the color? How did you change the color? What did you use to change the color? What's that? No, you changed the color within your mind. What did the mind saw it, when your mind saw it, it was the color purple. So you had it when you changed it. What did you use to change it?
We had stored yellow color.
What's that?
We had stored yellow color.
But how did you change it? Just like if I, say I have the saffron dhoti on, but I also have a kind of a whitish one. It has to be dyed, by the way. Now, in order to change it, I have to do something, right? It just doesn't, it's there, therefore I'm wearing it. What did I use to change it?
Color.
What's that?
Color.
Color. Really? From the great ocean of color. Believe it or not, we use our intelligence to do it. Without using our intelligence, how could we have done it? First of all, without using our intelligence, we can't do anything. Intelligence is above everything. Just to see this, just for me to pick it up, requires intelligence. I could have tried to go like this. Well, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to get it. Well, why don't you try like that? Well, I never thought of that. That's a good idea. You're my guru. So it requires intelligence just to pick the flower up. Just to tell you to look at ask you to look at the flower requires intelligence. For you to look at the flower requires intelligence. For you to close your eyes and imagine the flower requires using the mind also. We're always using, but specifically the mind in the absence of the gross senses to think about the flower. So now, out of the five, six senses, now we're only using the mind to think about it. And intelligence. Now to change the color, we can't do it with our mind. We have to use our intelligence to change the color, and the mind experiences as a change of color. Does that make sense? Yeah. Now close your eyes, look at the flower again, and close your eyes, and see the flower, and then change the color to any color you want to. Okay, what color did you change it to?
Red.
What color did you change it to, Ananta?
Blue.
And yourself? Shagetsu?
Green.
So, now, as we've already concluded that it took intelligence to change it, but who changed it? Now we're getting really subtle. Who actually changed the color? What's that? The mind. Let me meet your mind. What does your mind look like? Did you watch the mind change it? How do you know it was the mind? Yeah, well, look at that. He's changing it again. Stop him. Well, how do you know it was the mind that changed it? What's that?
Who asked
to do this?
That's the question.
That is the question. Who changed it? What's that? You changed it. How did you change it? With your intelligence. Where did you get the intelligence from?
So Krishna changed it.
That's our default answer. We don't believe it. How else could it be changed? In other words, I gave it instruction, change it, and you had to agree. Isn't that right? You said, no, I'm not doing it. It's going to be the same color. It doesn't matter what he says. I'm not listening to him at all. I like that color. I'm not changing. No, actually, subtly, we have to desire. Now, let's try the same. Try the same thing again. Here, look at the flower. We already lost one of our gurus. Too much. So look at the flower, see the color, and then close your eyes and see the color. Now I'm going to say, change it to yellow. And you're going to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I don't desire it. I don't desire it. And what happens?
It's still you.
It still turns. Oh, it's too powerful. It turned you. Well, anyhow, or Krishna is so powerful that he forced you to change it. Or we don't. Anyhow, it's rather subtle. The point is, we have to desire, and then Krishna has to fulfill our desire. And when we think we're the doer, that's called false ego. We think we're doing it. And we, just like we close our eyes and we, you know, let's do the same thing again. Look at the flower. Everyone look at the flower because our memories are rather short. They close your eyes and think of a giraffe or something. Look at the flower. And then close your eyes. And then pray to Krishna, just, my dear Krishna, please turn it into a yellow flower. What happens? What's that? So shall surrender we are. It stays purple when we're trying to pray that it becomes yellow. Anyhow, it's revealing at least. All right, well, just close your eyes and see purple. Just see a yellow flower now. And then desire it become purple. Does that work? Yeah. Okay, so we're desiring. So actually we're desiring, but we're not creating. In other words, we're desiring, and Krishna is changing. He's creating according to what we desire. Now, I was asking if you to do something, so it was an authorized activity, we can say, and Krishna fulfilled our desire. Now, if I say, you know, close your eyes and think of the flower and make it into real flower that everyone can see right now. Can you do that? But we think we were doing all the other things. Why can't we do that? Can anyone answer, why can't we do it? We thought we created the yellow flower. We thought we changed even the color of the flower within our mind. And I said, make it a real flower. Why can't we make it into a real flower?
Because it's not our field of influence.
Yeah. Well, why couldn't Krishna do it?
He doesn't care about it.
Well, we could say it's not within our sphere of influence, or we don't merit it. Now there are people who can do that, who could actually manifest from their mind, like Kardama Muni. He manifested from his mind entire city. But we're not so qualified. But did Kardama Muni actually manifest the city? Who manifested the city? Krishna. Well, you're a little, that seems so convinced. Krishna actually manifested the city from his mind. Now, do we manifest anything from our minds? Or our intelligence? For instance, our intelligence and our desire. Because Prabhupada writes, we work not with our gross senses, we work with our mind and intelligence. So what does that mean? Yeah, we have to be able to see something before we do something. If you're blind, if we blindfold you and we say walk across the room, we spin you around a few times and say walk across the room. don't worry, we have a stretcher and we have an ambulance waiting on the outside in case something goes wrong. Because he can't see, you don't know what to do. So we have to be able to see, and then when we see, we have some surety that we know what to do. Even blind people, when they can actually see in different ways. They can more or less feel where the walls are sometimes. They may take a stick and they know how to tap it to know what objects are there. So they have a different way of seeing, but they won't go forward unless they can see somehow or another. So first of all, we have to see, like before the creation of the universe, Krishna revealed to Brahma within his mind what he wanted him to do. Brahma just didn't one day wake up and say, yeah, let there be a universe, and threw it out there. No, he had to tell Brahma what he wanted created, and he had to give the instructions of what to do, how to do it. And when Brahma could see what the creation was about, that was called the first creation within Brahma's mind, then he was able to make the second creation with what we see now. Similarly, our first creation is with our intelligence, and then we can see it with our mind. Our intelligence creates the mental image of it, and then we can do something about it. Now the question is, above this all is the modes of material nature, because there has to be some impetus. Why do people do anything, want to do anything? What's the impetus? In case we're not aware of it. What's our impetus? Why do we do something? Just like we're sitting here, and we, after the end of class, we say, you know, Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Kita. Why don't you just sit there? Well, maybe we will sit there, I don't know. Maybe if I ask you to get up, I will stay seated. Why do you get up? What's the impetus? No one knows. We don't know what we're doing, why we're doing it. We're just flying blind. What's the impetus?
Knowledge.
Knowledge? What kind of, knowledge in what? So when you get up from here, what kind of sambandhagyan is it? What kind of sambandhagyan is your impetus to get up?
To
get up at the end of class. I mean, why do you get up? Why don't you just sit there? We don't know why we're doing things. What's the impetus? What impels people or inspires people to do things?
Duty?
That's really all, that's quite vague. Duty.
Happiness, probably. To be happy.
Yes, that's ultimately the inspiration behind it. But what actually inspires you? How do you figure out how to be happy? What inspires you in your quest for happiness, to find happiness? It's mentioned in this verse, it was mentioned a few times. It's called the modes of nature. Just like if one is in the mode of ignorance, and we say, it's time, and we think, oh, someone says, maybe it's time to get up, and we think, I don't want to get up. It's like you're sleeping, someone shakes you and says, the alarm goes off, and says, get up, more or less. And we go, I'm not getting up. So what's inspiring you to stay on the bed? It's called the mode of ignorance. Yes? You look doubtful, Ananda.
No, from different respect, I think, because when we speak about the doer, we have independent and dependent doer. And so desires, Krishna approves, and Prakriti, gurus, they execute it.
No, it's exactly not exactly like that. It's not only that we're under a certain mode of nature, and according to that mode of nature, sattva nirupa sarvasha shraddha bhavati bharata sharoma yoyo purusham yoyat shraddha sevasaha. Under the influence of the three modes of material nature, the living entity, 17th chapter, verse number 3. O son of Bharata, according to one's existence, we're existing, right now we're existing under the modes of nature. Unless we're, you know, we're fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then we're under the spiritual energy. But according to one's existence, under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. So we're existing in the modes of the mode of nature. What is that mode of nature? Sat from rajas tamayiti guna prakriti sambhava dibandati mahabaho dehe dehinam avyam. The material body consists of the three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, ignorance. And when the living entity comes in contact with the material nature, it becomes conditioned by it. Bhagavad Gita 3:5. Just to confirm, I gave the right. Oh, that's the 14th chapter. Wrong. Three modes of material nature. That is 14:5. Material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, ignorance. Living entity comes in contact with nature, Almighty Om. It becomes conditioned by it, by these modes. So we're in contact with material nature. And, as I said, 3:5, everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he's acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. So we're put into these modes of nature called this material body, and our senses, mind, and intelligence conditioned by these modes. And therefore, when we're in the mode of ignorance and we hear the alarm clock, if we're really covered by it, then we may just go back to sleep because we're influenced by the mode of ignorance. It's impelling us to go back to sleep. We think we're going back to sleep, but actually it's the mode of material ignorance which is impelling us to go back to sleep. We may say we're agreeing to it, but we have no higher. We may have no higher inspiration than to go back to sleep. Or when we go and eat prasadam, are we just inspired by pure love of God, thinking, "Oh, there's Krishna. Let me go and let my tongue have darshan of Krishna." No, we're also being impelled to some extent by the mode of passion. And when we're washing our hands before we eat, then we're being inspired by the mode of goodness. So the modes of material nature are inspiring us, and hopefully when we can change the modes by understanding them properly. In other words, we could actually think, now I'm going to take prasadam, and I'm going to do it in order to meet Krishna. Associate with the devotees, prasadam is Krishna. In other words, we can change the inspiration. And although that doesn't immediately change the modes, but then there's another factor. And then if Krishna is there, if as much as Krishna is there, then in Krishna's presence, then the modes of ignorance and passion, they become purified by Krishna's association. What's the verse that says that? Nashta prayesh vabhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevya. So by Krishna's presence, or tesham eva nukamparatam, then I dwell in the heart, destroyed with the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. In Krishna's presence, Krishna is like the sun, and Maya is like darkness. When Krishna is present, then our hearts become purified. So the question is, how much will we put Krishna there? That's all. And how deeply and how consistently we put Krishna there, and then the modes of material nature gradually change or become purified or dissipate or disappear like fire, iron and fire. So we have to understand how it's not just doing an activity, like seeing, or it's not even by just thinking about it. It's not even by using our intelligence to even figure out how to change things, or how things could be different. Just like if I don't like the color of this room, then I start thinking about how I can change it. Like personally, I'd rather have it blue. So first I have to conceive it's blue. And then I can go out and buy the paint and stay up at night and paint it. And everyone comes in, wow, Ananda didn't like the color. He changed it. But I have to conceive of a different color. I have to see the present color, conceive of a different one. So that's using my intelligence to change the color. And then the question am I doing it for Krishna or not? Who am I doing it for? Am I doing it under the spell of my false ego? Or Ananda Prabhu told me to change the color, and therefore it's active devotional service. And then Krishna is there. I think Ananda Prabhu is a representative of Krishna, so I'm doing this for Krishna, and then I'm thinking about Krishna while I'm painting it. Actually, I like the color item, but Krishna wants a different one, so all right, I'll surrender. Then I'll think about Krishna. Krishna, you're a rascal. Why are you having me change the color? But at least I'll be thinking about Krishna. So that's called devotional, it's kind of devotional service. Better. Yes, Krishna, you're so fantastic. I love the color. I love you. I love doing it. That's devotional service. So we have to be aware. We can go even up to the point of intelligence, and we have to check what mode I'm doing it. I have to check who I'm doing it for, why I'm doing it, how I'm doing it. So these things require intelligence. So if we use our intelligence, then we can actually connect with Krishna, connect with devotional service, and the result is we become Krishna conscious. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Maharaj, so according to your explanation, how often do we desire or actively desire? Because it seems that we inactively desire, like agreeing to go with the habit, to go with the habit of modes, but we have always the opportunity to desire something else. So how is with that? How often are we partial doer? I mean, how often are we using this capacity, and what means actually using this?
Don't ask too many questions, that will get too confusing.
I mean, it's the same question, but
okay,
but I cannot formulate it. So.
Well, at every moment we're desiring. The question is, if we don't add Krishna consciousness to the desire, then it's material, as in one of the modes of nature. We may imagine, now I'm acting in goodness, I'm liberated. We may think like that, but then we become aware after some time I wasn't really liberated. I was just acting in the mode of goodness temporarily. Liberation means there's no ignorance and passion anymore. It's not even material, there's no material goodness, which is mixed with ignorance and passion. Now, the only time we become actually out of the modes of nature, or even a little bit, is when we do something for Krishna. When we find out what Krishna wants us to do, and it's really what Krishna wants us to do, and we do it to please Him, then we might think about Him, and that's called spiritual. So that's actively using, the soul is actively working to please Krishna. So Prabhupada writes, our free will consists of either orientating our desire towards the ignorant misconception of identifying ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies, or orientating our desire towards the true spiritual conception of being Krishna's eternal servant and doing something sincerely to try and please Him. So that's our free will. And that's at every moment we have that. Usually, due to the mode of ignorance or even passion, we don't think like that. It means we just follow the modes of nature. What is that? Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti janganan karna guna sangosya sat asad yoni janmisu. Thus a living entity follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to his association with those modes, thus he meets with both good and evil amongst the various species. So generally we just follow the flow from goodness, passion, ignorance, whatever. It's only when we hear from Krishna through the Guru Sadhana Shastra, and then we put that into our intelligence, and then we utilize that. We desire to utilize that information with our body, with our mind, with our words. Tad buddhyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parayanaha, gachanyapana avritim, gyanani dutta kamashaha. One's faith, one's mind, one's intelligence, one's refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of all misgiving through complete knowledge, and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. Ihai yasya hare ardasya, karmana manasa gira, Nikala yavavasta su jiva mukta su uchite. I just can't remember exactly the translation, but let's try the rough translation. One who utilizes body, mind, and words in Krishna's service, he's liberated soul, even in this world. Anyway, I won't take your time, but that's the other verse is yukta. Here it is. See, there is a God, he reminded me. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna, with his body, mind, and words, body, mind, intelligence, and words, is a liberated person, even within the material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. So we got to add Krishna there. In other words, we have to become aware that I need the intelligence, I need the information coming from Guru, Sadhana, Shastra, and I have to apply it to find out what Krishna wants me to do. And then that's called sincerity. And then when Krishna gives me intelligence, this is really what he wants me to do, and I do it to please him with my body, mind, and words, that's called devotional service. And then we'll think about Krishna, and we'll become purified from our lower tendencies. Okay, anything else? Does that answer your question? Thank you very much. Krandraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.